Let's continue in our talks from Colossians by reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. In these two verses, we have the beginning of Paul's prayer for the spiritual growth of the Colossian believers. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's first of all make a few background notes for these two verses. The book of Colossians is one of Paul's so-called prison epistles because he wrote this letter from his first imprisonment in Rome. It would have been in the early 60s AD. Paul was actually under house arrest in this situation, as we learn from the last two verses of the book of Acts. He could have visitors and write letters, but he was chained at all times to a Roman soldier. One of his visitors was a man by the name of Epaphras, who came to visit him from the church at Colossae. You read about him in verse 7 of this chapter. Epaphras informed Paul that the church was standing firm, but there was some false teaching around Colossae. It hadn't yet penetrated the church, but it was around. And so one of Paul's main reasons for writing this letter was to warn the Colossians not to be taken in by the false teaching. After his greeting or salutation in verses 1 and 2 of the book, there's a section of thanksgiving, which was typical of letters in that day. That's in verses 3 through 8. Now here in verses 9 through 14, there's a prayer for Christian growth. Now we read verses 9 and 10, which is the first part of this prayer. The Apostle Paul wanted to see the Colossians grow to become stronger Christians, so that there would be no danger that they would be taken in by this false teaching. God wants us to grow strong so that we too would not be taken in by false teaching. And that really then leads us to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, God wants His children to be spiritually sensitive. God wants His children to be spiritually sensitive. Now we said that the prayer for Christian growth is in verses 9 through 14. In this prayer, we can see four requests that Paul makes concerning the Colossian believers. These four requests are all interrelated and interdependent, but for the sake of better appreciation and application, let's consider them as four separate requests. We'll look at the first two in this talk, and then the second two, or the last two, in our next talk from Colossians. The first request is that the Colossians would be spiritually sensitive. Look at verse 9 once again. We ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, this is not only a first century letter from the Apostle Paul to the Colossian believers. This is the Word of God to us as well. So God's Word is teaching us here that God wants His children to be spiritually sensitive. Now, what does it mean to be spiritually sensitive? It means to have a knowledge of God's will and to have wisdom and spiritual understanding, a knowledge of His will. Not the idea of guidance so much, what does God want me to do, what's His will for my life, but more an understanding of the ways and desires of God, a knowledge of His will. How about spiritual wisdom and understanding? The idea here is not a higher IQ or natural smarts, something like that, but spiritual insight into the things of God. To have a knowledge of His will is to know what God wants. To have spiritual wisdom and understanding is to know why God wants it. Let's take an illustration. Consider a father and son, a relationship between a Christian father and son. And the father is quite involved in the Lord's work. He's a church leader or a leader of some Christian ministry. And there's a good relationship between the father and the son. But at first, when the son is young, immature, the son doesn't enter into the work of the father. He's not sensitive to the father's interests. The son at this point sees the father as the allowance giver, the permission granter, the history and math expert, those kinds of things. But then as the son grows older and begins to mature, he begins to understand the work of the father. He even begins to care about it, pray about it, even help his dad in the ministry. That's spiritual sensitivity. That's what Paul wanted to see on the part of the Colossian believers. That's what God wants to see in reference to us. He wants to see us spiritually sensitive, a knowledge of God's will, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Doctrinal point number two. God wants his children to have a worthy walk. God wants his children to have a worthy walk. Now that's the second request that we see in Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers. We see it in verse 10. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God wants his children to have a worthy walk. Now what do we mean by a worthy walk? Well, walk is not the idea of your literal walk, but your way of life. And walk implies both direction and progress. Notice, by the way, that the worthy walk is the result of having spiritual sensitivity, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. There's three things that we see here that characterize a worthy walk. One, a pleasing walk. Two, a fruitful walk. And three, a knowledgeable walk. Notice, a pleasing walk. You would have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Fully pleasing, or in all respects, pleasing in all respects. God wants to see that in our lives, a pleasing walk. At home, on the job, in sports, the literature we read, the TV we watch, the videos we watch, even our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says that we make it our aim or goal to be pleasing unto him. How is your time alone spent? Is it spent in self-discipline or self-indulgence? Good question to ask ourselves, right? In reference to whether we have a walk that's pleasing to the Lord. And then we see it's to be a fruitful walk. Being fruitful in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Now, the works here don't have to do with salvation, but service. We are not saved, as you know, by good works, but we are saved for good works. You know those familiar verses in Ephesians 2:8-9? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then you go on to verse 10, and we see that works do have a place, but it's in reference to service. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Also, Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So we're to have a fruitful walk, bearing fruit in every good work. So for a worthy walk, if you're going to have a worthy walk, you're going to be involved in some way in some ministry, in some Christian service. Are you active right now in some Christian service, or are you only an attender? You only come for what you can get out of it. The Lord wants us to have a fruitful walk. He wants us to be involved in good works of service. That's all part of having a worthy walk. And then we see, thirdly, that it's to be a knowledgeable walk, increasing in the knowledge of God. How well do you know God? You see, the idea here is not theology, you know, knowing all these facts about God, but knowing God. A worthy walk is characterized by knowing God more. Well, how do you get to know God more? Well, it's primarily through the study of his word. All right, just before we move on to practical application, it's interesting to note that in both of these requests that Paul makes that we've looked at in this prayer, these first two requests, spiritual sensitivity and worthy walk, there is the mention of knowledge. There in verse 9, knowledge of his will. Verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now this is significant because the false teachers around Colossae, these so-called Gnostics, coming from the Greek word for knowledge, gnosis, these so-called Gnostics prided themselves on their knowledge. That's why they were called Gnostics. They considered themselves as the elite and in possession of secret and esoteric knowledge. So we see that false teaching is refuted here. Knowing God and having a knowledge of his will is available to all Christians, not just some select elite. It's available to all Christians. And Paul is certainly driving at that point here. Practical application. Practical application number one. Let's pray like Paul would pray for our family and friends. Let's pray like Paul would pray for our family and friends. Do we pray for spiritual sensitivity for our family and friends? Do we pray for a worthy walk for our family and friends? Usually we pray for our family and friends if they're sick, if they've lost a job, or they've got some kind of physical problem, then we pray for them. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But how do you think Paul, how do you think the Apostle Paul would have prayed for them? Well, I can tell you one thing. If they weren't Christians, he would have prayed for their salvation. But if they were Christians, he wouldn't be just praying for their sickness that they would get well, or they're losing a job that they find a new job, or for, you know, some physical problem. He'd be praying for their spiritual sensitivity and that they would have a worthy walk. When was the last time, for example, you prayed that your Christian friend would increase in the knowledge of God's will and would increase in wisdom and spiritual understanding? That's convicting, isn't it? Convicting for all of us. Let's pray like Paul would pray for our family and friends. Second practical application. Let's walk as if we're being watched. Let's walk as if we're being watched. We've seen in verse 10 that a worthy walk is to be a pleasing walk. Well, how do you check yourself out to make sure your way of life is pleasing to the Lord? Well, here's one suggestion. Let's walk as if we're being watched. Well, we are being watched. Now, there's two different aspects that we want to look at in reference to this idea. One is that God is watching everything we do. He sees the TV programs we watch, the videos we watch. He's looking over our shoulder at the literature we read. He's even watching our thoughts. That's why we should, in the words of 2 Corinthians 10:5, bring every thought into captivity to Christ. But the other aspect of this idea that God is watching is the idea of performance. You know, just as a child wants to do his best in sports if dad and mom are at the game, so if we walk as if we're being watched, we will tend to perform better as Christians. I'm sure we would waste less of God's time and money if we really caught this concept that God is watching us. Not only everything we do, but he's watching our performance. What a great idea it is to be able to perform with the knowledge that God is watching our performance. I think this idea of being watched may be what's in view here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's walk as if we were being watched.